they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you ever read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
So, today we're continuing the theme that we've been looking at for quite a few weeks now, on the Lordship of Jesus. And at this time, as I'm sure you know, we are focusing on what it says in Mark 2, 23 to 28, which Miranda so excellently just read for us. And this passage is found in many of the Gospels, and it depicts Jesus in conflict with the religious leaders of the time, the Pharisees. It's found in Matthew and Luke as well. And it's notable, I think, in that it starts off a chain of events that eventually leads to the Pharisees in Mark 3, 6, beginning their plot to have Jesus killed. So obviously there's already this political importance to what happens in this passage in the time of Jesus. But I think this can be split up into three fairly succinct parts. Firstly, the accusation of the Pharisees. Secondly, Jesus' rebuttal through Scripture. And then Jesus takes it that step forward, that step further, and he declares his lordship. So three parts. So the first one, the accusations of the Pharisees. Now, as many of you know, I'm a teacher. And quite often, that means that I have to ensure the school rules are being rigorously upheld. As I'm sure you can tell, I'm quite good at that. And you know, often there's a fairly obvious reason as to why us teachers have to do this. It's because students need to uphold the standard of behaviour that means that fundamentally they can get the most out of their education. And that is why we have laws in the Bible, particularly from the Old Testament. God provides us with commandments, which provide the Jews, and then by extension, us today, a high moral standard that we should base our lives upon. And this is to enable us to succeed in his vision for us. Remember that we are made in the image of God. This all comes from God's love for us. He loves us, so he sets us these standards, these commandments that we want to uphold. And so that comes to our passage. There's obviously in the Ten Commandments, it says that you should uphold the Sabbath day. But when we think about the passage, it starts with a fairly menial action. The disciples are just walking through some grain fields, and they're just picking up some ears of grain as you go through. If you ever go on a walk and there's some tall pieces of the grass, you know what it's like. You just walk past, you take a bit, and then you just let it fall on the floor. And that's just quite relaxing. But the Pharisees say, no, that is not okay. This is work. If you look at what it says in Luke, it says the disciples actually also ground this, which makes it sound a little bit more like work. But fundamentally, for us today, it doesn't really sound like they're working. The objection comes from the fact that because they are plucking at the grain, they are reaping it. And reaping is an act that is forbidden on the Sabbath in Exodus 34, 21. It says, even during the harvest, you must rest. And this leads us to the condemnation that the Pharisees level. Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And so the Pharisees here, they've taken it upon themselves to define what the law is and uphold it, even if it seems unnecessarily harsh and fundamentally misses the point of the law in the first place. The Hebrew word Sabbath means to be sanctified, that is, to be set aside as holy. In the Ten Commandments, it says, 6 days you will labor and do all your work, but the seventh is a Sabbath for the Lord your God. It's a day that we should set aside for God. This comes from our love for him. This comes from the fact that we have love for God because God has love for us. And so we should be diligent in upholding a day where we are dedicated entirely towards him. Yet the Pharisees seem to have forgotten the reasoning behind this commandment. This is a day for God to spend time with him, to be rest, and to be renewed through him. And yet, despite the fact that the Pharisees are doing just that, they are spending time to rest. They're just having a nice little walk, they're strolling with literally God through Jesus. The Pharisees are shutting down the disciples for doing just that. And so Jesus returns at the Pharisees, and he does what he's very good at doing, and he responds to the Pharisees through a reference to Scripture in verses 25 to 26. And what's firstly quite important to note here is that Jesus himself is never actually implicated in breaking the Sabbath, but he immediately comes to the defense of those who are, which I think is quite telling about the very nature of Jesus as our Lord. He comes to our aid when we need it, when people are attacking us. He is there for us. And Jesus makes this very clear response through referring to Scripture, namely 1 Samuel 21, 1-6. A lot of ones there. Wherein Jesus takes something called the presence bread. David takes the consecrated bread, which is usually left before the tabernacle and is reserved just for the priests. And he shares it with his soldiers on the Sabbath because his soldiers are hungry. The soldiers need food. And the main reason why Jesus shares this point is to highlight that sometimes human need comes before the written law. And what he says is a challenge to the Pharisees, because he's looking at the Pharisees and he's asking them to make a choice between their complaint, the complaint that they've got about the practice that they've just seen, and what David did. Obviously, David was a very, very important figure for the Pharisees, and so he's put them in quite a predicament. If we go back to my classroom, when I am rigorously upholding the school rules, one of the school rules is that students are not allowed to go to the toilet during a lesson, which is fair enough, because, you know, we can't just walk out of a meeting and go to a toilet when you're an adult. You've got to make sure that you can control your bladder, as it were. But I must acknowledge that sometimes this rule must be broken. Actually, just yesterday, a year 10 in one of my classes put, not yesterday, sorry, that was Saturday, on Friday, a year 10 put a hand up and said, "Sir, can I go to the toilet?" And I said, "No! How dare you think about going to the toilet in my lesson?" And they said, "But sorry, sir, I'm bleeding." And she held up her hand, and there was blood coming down from her hand. And I said, "Oh, yeah, sure, go then. Off you go." The need of the student was great. Clearly, there was going to be no use of her remaining in my lesson with blood pouring out of her hand, going all over her work. That wasn't beneficial to the student. That wasn't me being a good teacher. And so I let her go to the toilet. And then she didn't return for 20 minutes, and I looked a right fool. What Jesus is doing here, he's not rewriting any rules. What we need to remember is what he says in the Sermon of the Mount. "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." Jesus does not change the laws. He's not saying, "You can do what you want on the Sabbath." He's not saying we don't need to set aside a day aside for God. What he's doing is giving them purpose. And this purpose is love. We all know that later in Mark, Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and all your strength." And then he says, "Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." What Jesus is showing with these two commandments is a reestablishment that they are central to the rules that we are asked to follow. And so when we accept Jesus as our Lord, we need to remember that those are the two commandments that should be seen through all other rules that we follow. Every rule in the Bible should be seen through those two rules. They should be seen through the fact that we should be loving the Lord our God, and that we should be loving our neighbour as we love ourselves. And so Jesus comes to the declaration of his lordship, and he starts this by saying the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Through this, he's showing how the law of the Sabbath fulfills a need that is required of us. We're not here to just blindly follow the rules, but rather the rules have been set out for our benefit. And I think you'll all agree that it's not hard to see how having a Sabbath day would benefit us. Remember, Sabbath literally means to be set aside as holy. Can you imagine that? If we were able to rigorously uphold a day where we spent the entire day just in the company of God, how amazing our lives would be. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that these rules, they're here to benefit you. I am your Lord, and these are my rules. But I'm not doing them because I'm some tyrannical ruler. I'm doing them because I love you. And this is what Jesus is doing. He's taking it a step further. And the first thing that we can see him doing in this passage is that he's declaring himself as the Messiah. Okay, remember, this is chapter 2 of Mark. This is very early on in Jesus' ministry. And already he's saying, he's tying this to the coming of his kingdom. He says, so the Son of Man is even Lord of the Sabbath. In Mark 2:28. When he says this, he's saying firstly that he's the Son of Man. And this will already be following on, despite the fact it's so early on in his ministry, it's following on from a huge number of events, healings, exorcisms, the way that he would teach with authority. And it would show those who would be listening to him that he is declaring himself to be the Messiah. So those who are theologically inclined, of which the Pharisees absolutely were, would be hearing what he's saying and thinking, this man, he is saying that he is the Messiah. That he is saying that he is the Christ. He is saying that he is the Lord. And they would be thinking, he is a threat. He is a threat to our power. And that is why we eventually, in Mark 3:6, get the plot for his death. But beyond that, when he says, Lord, even of the Sabbath, he's clearly stating that he is Lord. And while here it seems to be limited to being Lord of the Sabbath, let us not forget the reason why the Sabbath exists. It reflects the day, the seventh day, that God rested after creating literally everything. And so to say that he is the Lord of the day that reflects the day that God rested is, by extension, to say that he has lordship over all of creation. If he is Lord of the last day, he is Lord of all days. Last week, Paul and Phil preached on this clearly, that in every aspect of our lives, we should invite and welcome Jesus to be Lord of it, and to let things go which do not honour this. And this is a problem for the Pharisees, because they've got themselves into a position where they are actually unwilling to let God be in control. They've got themselves into a position where their law is more important than their Lord. They're unwilling to let God be in control. The Pharisees have put in the laws that they themselves have extended beyond the definitions that God himself put out. And that is what they need to sacrifice. It shows the importance of the word even in this, even the Sabbath. For the Pharisees, the Sabbath is indicative of the thing that they are most unwilling to give up. They say that the law is the most important thing, and they do not want to lose that. And I wonder, do we ever find ourselves so strict and rigorous to the law, to rules, that we forget the meaning, the main reason why we have these rules in the first place? Because that is love. That is the love of Jesus Christ. If we accept Jesus as our Lord, if we truly accept the Lordship of Jesus, that means that the law that we follow must be for love. Love must be at the heart of every action that we do. Because we know that following the law means absolutely nothing if it is not underpinned with a relationship with Jesus Christ and living our lives with his love at the center. And this is the only way for us to live our life with the Holy Spirit in our lives supporting our actions. Jesus wants us to avoid what the Pharisees were doing, blindly following dogma, tricking ourselves into thinking that just doing the action is enough. Because the law must be for the love that Jesus provides. And when we accept Jesus as our Lord, love follows. Love will be at the center of all of our actions. He wants the response of our hearts to be above the response of our heads. Much like what David did with the consecrated bread. David knew the law. He knew what this bread was for. He knew the reasons for it. And yet he knew that God loved his people. And he knew that God would put aside that rule in order for the people to have a benefit. And so we may often find ourselves, like the Pharisees, acting in a way that we've convinced ourselves to be the right way, extending our own understanding of the Lord, of the law beyond the authority of Jesus our Lord. And we may often hear the challenge of Jesus, as he gave the Pharisees, of making sure our actions are ones in which our pride, our rules, and our attitudes are not placed before the love for others that Jesus so rightly asked us to show. But if we want to truly move forward with our hearts, to let the love of Christ guide us in our lives, to welcome the Holy Spirit and to use the gifts that it provides us, we firstly have to ensure that we accept the Lordship of Christ in every aspect of our lives, as this is the key to move forward in a true relationship with Jesus. And so we'll finish with a prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are our Lord. We thank you that we can give our lives over to you. We thank you that even when we do not live in the best way that we should, that you will still be our Lord and that your love will help us every day that we accept that. Amen. Thank you.